First Peter chapter, First Timothy 2. That's going to be a starting place. We may search on through some of the scriptures, make reference to other places, so have your Bibles ready. I get all these reports, you know, not necessarily a lot from my sons, you know, we're men, but the ladies in my family, they get news reports to me and all, and that helps me. Andrea, for years, and now some of the other girls, Andrea started this, I think she'd give me a good joke, and then they'd give me serious news about things happening. You know, there's an earthquake up around Knoxville, and Hannah screamed, and she said, "My husband didn't do nothing to help me. I just told him to stop it, make it stop." And then Hannah screamed out, and Abby, dishes fell off of her table. Yeah, over here, right out from Somerville, and trying, fire away. Well, that's some tragic news. But they give me serious stuff, and then they give me news, and I appreciate that. Don't stop doing it. But they told me about, you know, how children, the sad stories about children. And I really even wondered if I should even mention this. But you know, a child, they said, evaporated the other day. And they said he'll be missed. I ain't sharing no more. That's not a papa joke. That's a daughter joke. Okay, you got it right, M-I-S-T. Is it gonna cause you to bust a gut to laugh? Don't do it. I don't want no guts busted around me. Let's get into the Bible. Okay. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. In verse 5. Well, let's just read verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. I mean, it's something God likes to think about and look at. It's good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. That blows out of the water the doctrine of Calvinism, which says there are just certain people that Jesus died for. And there's a doctrine, hyper-Calvinism talks about the that there's something called limited atonement. And the limited atonement means the sufficiency and efficacy of the cross of Christ was only for those that were going to be saved. That's a doctrine right out of hell. He said he would have all men to be saved, not some. Don't think God won't save you if you'll let Him. You've got to let Him. You've got to say, "I want to be saved, Lord." You've got to come with your heart. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. What is the truth? We're going to talk about some truth today. Truth versus tradition. We may get into that. Truth versus tradition. Do you know the definition of tradition? You know what truth is, verdad, in the Hispanol. Truth is something, you know, truth is foundational. Truth is a foundation, and truth can never change. It will never change. Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, not a truth, but the truth. Now, truth is stationary, it's foundational. It is a foundation. It's the only true foundation. But there's something else that starts with a T that challenges truth, and that's tradition. And it don't necessarily intentionally challenge truth, but it distorts one's reasoning about what truth is. Tradition. You know what tradition is, the basic term of defining tradition? In 1 Peter, it talks about we were not redeemed with silver or gold, nor the vain tradition of our fathers. Vain, you know what vain means? Empty. Vain just simply means, in the Hebrew language, it mentions our heads. You know any our heads? There's nothing up there. There may not even be air. Space. Spacelings. I was talking to somebody. I wish I could bring this back up, who I was talking to about, you know, this. And the man, I said, I plead ignorance. He said, you don't know how many people come in to this business and they don't have to plead it. I wish I could remember. I'll catch up on that and tell you like this. You would not believe who comes in here with so vain traditions. Now, what is vain's empty? Worthless, useless. Tradition means something handed down. The vain tradition of your fathers. I'll never forget the way my daddy raised me. I'll never forget it. My daddy raised me right. He loved God. He honored God. He was standing on the truth. But unsimple things. Every day, a lot of times, I don't know about every day, but I think about my daddy. And I actually, my son Benjamin gave me a boat. And we got it back from getting it tuned up at the shop. And I went out to check it out. And I run into a man that was from Georgia. And we were talking. He said, my daddy brought me fishing. My daddy brought me fishing. Don't you wish that all children could grow up doing stuff that you used to do? Ladies or women or men. And I remember the way daddy tied a hook. I remember how he run a trot line, showed me how to run a trot line. I remember all that. Remember how he helped me, show me how to tie them trot line hooks where you can just pop them right off or on the line. And then the one on the hook would not come off. There is no way it would come off. And I tied some knots the other day and I thought about that. He didn't say, now this is a rope. And you turn this to the left, you turn that to the right, and you go through this. He taught me how to tie a tie on a full Windsor. Them half Windsor people, you better watch them. Especially them kinds got zippers around their neck. Fake. Full Windsor. Perfect. Perfect knot. He taught me how to tie a tie. I can do it blindfolded. He said, your tie looks like you folded, you tied it blindfolded. Vain tradition of your fathers. Things that are handed down from generation to generation. From the time that God began to deal with men, and especially in the Mosaic economy with the giving of the law and the sacrifices. From that time, God laid it down. This is the way to do it. You do it just like this. You've got to. You've got to keep the law, right? Keep the law. I mean, you got to know the law before you can keep the law. We may get to Leviticus. In Leviticus, they had offerings which they had to make for the sins of ignorance of the law. If they had sinned and didn't know it, and then they found it out, they had to go make a sacrifice for the sin of ignorance concerning the law. My goodness. You say, well, I know when I sin. You know why? Christian friend, because the Holy Spirit lives in you. And as soon as you sin, you know it. You don't have to have anybody tell you. You got to keep coming back to the sacrifice. You know who that is? That's Jesus. You got to keep coming back to the cross. The same place. See, there was something called burnt offerings in chapter 1 of Leviticus. Burnt offering. It was made at the brazen altar as you entered the tabernacle. The very first place that you had to pass before you could get any further with God is you had to go to that brazen altar and you had to bring a sacrifice with you. And the Bible talks about shedding of blood. You know what the word shedding means? It don't mean to prick yourself a little bit. And a drop of blood. It means to gush out. That's what shedding means. I hate to reference this in a spiritual way, but I've seen many animals butchered and I've even helped. Mostly with pigs and hogs. And when we would kill that hog, usually with a 22 right in the soft spot right in here. And when that hog would fall down, my daddy, my Uncle Spud, and whoever was helping us would take a sharp knife and cut his throat, and the blood would, it would gush out. And every time somebody sinned, they had to go with a sacrifice, and the blood had to gush out. It would be offered on that brazen altar at the entrance of the tabernacle. And on the entrance of the tabernacle, this thing was like a rectangle. And you just imagine a huge barbecue steel pit, a barbecue stand there with the grates. And they'd have the fire going. And one of the most interesting things that I came to realize that when they started that fire, they started that fire to temple especially, that it never went out until they went into captivity. They got away from God and the fire went out. Now, four corners to that altar, brazen altar. Brass means judgment in the Bible. Remember when they raised the serpent in the wilderness, God said the snakes bit them and they were falling like flies, and God told Moses to get a brazen serpent and put it on a pole, and if they'd just look out that tent and look up to that brazen serpent, snake, that represented sin and the judgment of sin, because brass represents judgment, sin, the snake represents sin, and all they had to do is look at that brazen snake, and they would be healed from the serpent's bite. And I want you to understand, if you'll just slow down enough to take a look at Jesus on the cross for you, who took your sins, He took the judgment for you, you can be healed. Saved had to do it. What? I got bit by a snake. I started looking at that blazing serpent. I'm looking, till I knew that I wasn't going to die. That brazen altar had four corners on it, and each corner, that corner had my torn. He would come up, get a hold of it. And only the temple times it was changed to 20 years. They got a, it might have been a little bit different kind of altar, but you got to hold the woman on the hill down. I think I made, I'm actually going on memory, but I think there was a king that was going to die. They were going to kill him, and he ran to this old altar. Check me out. That's a thing. It's a very dangerous thing for you to live your life based on tradition, things that have been handed down to you as truth when they're not truth. So where do you get the truth? I'm glad you asked me. The truth is right here. No vain tradition right here. Time of Jesus, at the time of Jesus, the writings of the rabbis and scribes and Pharisees had become so numerous that the Bible was like here, the truth of the law of Moses, and there were so many vain traditions written and other laws compiled that you had to get it all down, get down to the truth, but people were so confused, they didn't know nothing, and they began to have to trust religion and what religion said was right to base their lives on what they supposed to be the truth, and that's happening today. That's happening today. Now, it says, verse 6, who gave himself a ransom. You know what a ransom means? Payment. like somebody being kidnapped and you sent a ransom out. I hadn't even been to Mexico for a while, but I was somewhere during the year. I mailed Cervelo's money usually from Los Reyes Tienda store in Collinsville and Fort Payne. They're friends of mine. I got down there in Mexico one time, and instead of putting Roger Dale Butler on the money I sent down there, I put Roger Butler, and they wouldn't give me my money. And me and Cervelo was there for several hours trying to get them at that big store that had a bank in it, and they wouldn't give me nothing. So I called up to the store, and Betty and Ernesto's friends of mine, they own those stores, and that's where I've known them for years. And we saw them, Terry, we saw Ernesto in Lowe's, remember? And Ernesto said, this man's been a friend for me for a long time. And, you know, that meant something to me. He's my dear friend and his wife. So I called the store, and Betty answered, and I said, well, Betty, here's the situation. And she couldn't do nothing, and she sent me the money of her own money. So if you can pay me, you know, I'll pay you when you get back. I paid her when I got back. That's a friend like that. But he finally got right with the Lord. Ernesto, Betty fasted for 2 weeks. Her and a friend of hers said, we're not going to eat till my husband gets right with God. A good man. Wealthy man. And they fasted and fasted and finally got right with God. See, they've been raised in vain tradition. Now, let me just read a little more here. A ransom. I'm hung up on that word. I'm going to tell you. I went into that store one day to mail Cervelo's money, and they said, you're back. And I said, yeah, I'm back. Come every month. Okay. Yeah, but you're back. I said, I'm back. Here I am. And they said, well, tell us what happened. I said, where? They said, you got kidnapped in Mexico. I said, not me. There was a couple of women came in that store with like $2,000 and said, our pastor is kidnapped in Mexico and we got to get that money to him or they're not going to let him go, you know. I said, it definitely wasn't me. I'd still be down. My wife would say, you got lost at sea and I'm going to collect it. I'm going to collect the insurance money. Pray for him. Pray for him. It'll do him good. He must have done something wrong. Oh, ransom. Jesus paid the price for you, friend. Paid the price for everybody. The Lord said, God is not slack concerning him. And here's what he said. He'd have all men to come into repentance. He'd have everyone to be saved. And so ransom for everybody. The price has been paid. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. It's going to come out. In due time, there's going to be a testimony of people who got saved. They can't hold it in. It's going to come out that they've trusted Christ as their Savior. I remember that Virginia Manley was having a meeting here in this people in the altar, and I was standing right there, and she come up to me, said, I did. I said, okay, good. I said, I did. I said, well, what did you do? She said, I asked the Lord to save me last week. I said, hold it in. That's good luck. Now, first time, but there's one guy. There's some politician, don't know who he is, can't remember, but he said something that, Viva Allah. Viva means life, it's life to Allah. In other words, God live. And life to God, or and it goes further than that. It's a phrase that we say, thanks to God or something. And He said it in Arabic, and he's an English politician from Washington, D.C., and he's saying, thank God, but he's saying, thank Allah. He's saying it in their language. We need to vote him out. There's one God. We need to vote them people out that's trying to keep the ICE from going in to get those illegals last week. That was supposed to be respected politicians standing in the way of the police force. It don't matter. They do what they want to. Here's what he said. The verse here we were looking at. Is. Let's just let me read a couple more. There it is. Verse 5. For there is one God.
And one pizza. And one big head, right? It's talking, isn't it? Somebody can stand in the middle of the heavens. God. And there's one media. Let me tell you something else. There's nobody. And no. Well, adversary. You're an adversary to God. Don't go. Yourself. St. Peter, or to St. Andrew, or St. James, or the men who have been taught that Mary never sinned, and that Mary ascended to heaven like Jesus. You see the danger of believing the victim? I have to sympathize with anybody who has been raised in a tortuary. The unknown God, Paul went to Athens, and they had like a museum of many gods. He went around looking at them, and he talked. He said, you've got one missing, and that's the real God. There's one God. There's just one way, one God, one Jesus, and one way to heaven. There's not a lot of ways. There's one way to heaven. Some people believe we are all on different roads, but we're all heading in the same direction. There's many roads that get you to. Say. You don't have to bring it. Back to you in the Old Testament, they had to bring a sacrifice. We bring a sacrifice. Wait, no, it's evil over there. We just got to come. You're not going to only God that's going to put me in hell if I don't come to you. It's not popular, is it? Don't matter. There's one God, one mediator between God and man. Man, Christ, Peter. Well, I'll say just a little bit more, I'll be close. There's something called. Read commentaries more than I read about. But I just wrote down this word, class sinners. You know, in July, I'll be in this graduation season in 2025, I've been graduated high school 50 years. Y'all gonna give me a present? I ain't gonna pay $35 or whatever they're charging. I just decided probably that they won't be seeing me again. That's okay. I love the people. I can't stand a crack. There's going to be a big crack. Ain't that what's safe? I can't come to church. I can't stand the crowds. You don't have to worry about that anymore. In churches, they're preaching the Bible. There's not a lot of big crowds in there. No, I don't like noise. Well, you're going to get noise in a crowd either in heaven or in hell. You say, preacher, you're preaching on sinners every Sunday. Well, I'm preaching on me too. Difference is I'm a saved sinner. And there may be somebody here today that's a lost sinner. Now, classed sinners. Who sins? What are you going to say to that? What's the answer? Everybody. You say, not me, buddy. Well, you got another problem you can add to your list, and you're a liar. You sin. All of us sin. I just want you to, let me see what chapter in Leviticus we need to be in. Turn your Bibles back here to Leviticus. Going to take you a little while. It's in the Bible. Third book of the Bible. I'm just going to show you a verse here, but I can't find it. This is sort of a sideline thing right here. Oh, yeah, I got it. Y'all in chapter 4, right? Has everybody got it? Chapter 4? Boy, we're moving along fast now. Hoco poco. Y'all will listen fast off. Preach slower. In Leviticus chapter 4, before I do that, me and Kathy was eating breakfast this morning, and I got these beans or Tennessee fried sausages, biscuits, just throw it in the microwave, bam, you got two of them. Apple and an orange. You like them biscuits? Y'all do, don't you? I share. Anybody wants one, go down there and get them. Tennessee pride. So, you know, I got up before she did, but she, you know, I usually get up and eat my apple and orange. And then Kathy gets up and cooks breakfast to take my vitamins. But she made it to the table when I was finishing up, and she had her, and she walked away, and she had some ham there. And I said, she won't ever miss this little piece. And she walked away from the table, and it was about that big ham, and it was cooked real crisp. And I said, Kathy, she said, I had two or three more pieces that you could have had because of, you know, that you had your biscuit. And I said, that's no problem. I said, well, I just got one little piece of ham. She said, that was fat back. I said, I'm sick. Hey, look in chapter 3, verse 16. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar. And this is holy talk right here. It is the food of the offering made by fire for a sweet savor. All the fat is the Lord's. Verse 17. It shall be a perpetual statute. You know what that means? An established truth. For your generations throughout all your dwellings, that you eat neither what? Fat nor blood. I'm sorry to spoil your rare steak. Some of my sons says, Daddy, that's not blood, it's juice. Well, it sure looks like blood to me, and all I can think about is blood when I'm eating it. So anyway, do what you... That's the law. Thank God we're not under the law, right? You rare eaters ought to say, thank God. But look at this. Who sins? Chapter 4. Verse 3. Class sinners. Different classes. Different classifications of sinners.
Verse 3, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, let him bring for his sin, which he hath sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. Who sins?
Priest.
If he sinned, the priest is liable to have committed sin, and he has to make an offering for his sin before he can make the offerings for the other people. Well, I know we got a new pope, or they got a new pope. Is it time to stop? I got 4 minutes. That might be 10 minutes. Finally, brethren, is what Paul said. Then he preached another chapter. So we're headed in for a landing. You don't think for 1 minute. And by the way, honest, sincere people that believe other things, I feel sorry for them. And if you'll just listen to me here and wherever you're listening from there, I want to give you the truth about vain traditions and the danger of it. And I want to tell you the truth about how to get to heaven and have your sins forgiven. You don't have to pay nothing. The price has already been paid. It's not my intentions to offend nobody, but I'm speaking the truth to you. I wonder who the Pope confesses to. Do you realize that when he's sitting in the chair, it's called ex cathedra, and that means it's the voice of God when he's sitting on his throne, when he talks. The Pope sins. And only God only recognizes a pure, unblemished sacrifice. And there's no way in the world that the Pope or anybody else or any priest can stand between you and God to make intercession for you. It's Jesus and Jesus only. Amen. Hey, I ask you this. Who does he confess to? I don't know. I'm not in that religion, but I've just got a sneaky notion that he don't go to a cardinal and confess. Because he's the head honcho. Who's he confessed to? If he confesses to God, why don't he let everybody else confess to God? Well, let me tell you something. There's something called money in this world. And every other religion is works, and every other religion, if you're not careful, it's going to get your money. We give willingly here. We don't charge. The priest sins. Who's his mediator? I mean, that's something that I wish every Catholic would. And let me tell you something else. Catholicism's sweeping the world right now. They call them Generation X. Is that it? This newest generation. Is that it? Is that answer me? Is Gen B? Z? Z? X, Y, Z. Z. Generation Z. Alpha. Alpha. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Do you know that they're making a sweeping movement, and there's been like a 40 to 70% increase in the Catholic Church by that generation? And it's a traditional thing. They're following a tradition, which is dangerous to somebody. Say, well, look here. You say, well, how do you get to Atlanta? Okay, well, you know, you could go this way, you could go that way. And, you know, I'm not going to take my directions nowhere but from a map. Or unless I really trust somebody. The tradition comes in when somebody else telling you directions instead of you looking at the map. You understand? Is this okay? Is it too elementary? I'm concerned about that. Listen to me just for a moment longer, if you will. Who sins? The priest sins. The preacher sins. What do we have to do? We have to go back to the same place we went to when we got saved, to the brazen altar, which is Jesus. And we have to, and it's like we step on His life blood when we sin. If you'll think about that, every time it's like He's re-crucified, even though it's pain to Him. It's what I'm saying. Every time we cause Him pain when we sin. Every time. And we got to go back where we started from to start all over again. You say, well, I have been saved, but where are you right now? What's your condition? What's your position? Got to come back to that starting place and start all over again. Who sins? Verse 22. The classification of sinners. When a ruler hath sinned and done somewhat through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord his God concerning these things which should not be done, and is guilty, or if his sin wherein he hath sinned come to his knowledge, he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a male without blemish. He shall lay his hand upon the head of the goat and kill it in the place where they kill the burnt offering before the Lord. It is a sin offering. I need to borrow a child. Can I borrow your son, Stephen? Your sister can come with you. Your sister can come. I really need both of you. I need both of you, okay? Can I hold your hand? Can I hold your hand? I've been thinking about this all week. And I've really been reluctant, but I know this is what God wants me to do. Oh, my. Let me tell you. Forget forgiveness. That individual had to get a little kid and bring it to the altar. And it could be, in some sins, you can check it out. It could be a male or a female. You know what a little lamb is, right? Little lamb, little sheep. He teach this girl what a lamb is. You know what a lamb? He does. And listen. Now listen to this. He had to bring that offering to the priest. I'm going to be real careful here. And he had to lay his hand. And sometimes I was told that the person bringing the sacrifice would lay both hands on that altar, on that offering. Both hands. I'm not going to go any further with thank you very much. You can be seated. Thank you very much. And that priest would, and I think you can check it out. Sometimes that person had to do it. And check me out on that. Had to slay that little innocent one that had never done nothing wrong and didn't deserve to die. And the blood had to gush out for the priest, for the ruler. Verse 20. Hold on just a moment. Oh, verse 13. Skip one. And if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they shall have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty, when the sin which they have sinned against it is known. Then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregations. The elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before the Lord, and the bullock shall be killed before the Lord. The blood is given. There's a lot of churches that would have revival if they'd just come and say, we've sinned. Whole church, bring it before the Lord. There's a lot of churches heading in the wrong direction right now. It'd be great, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be great? Last thing, verse 27. And if any one of the common people sin through ignorance, while he doeth somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, be guilty. If his sin which he hath sinned come to the knowledge, then he shall bring his offering to go to the kids, a female without blemish for his sin which he hath sinned. Now listen to this. I believe it was Harry Ironside, a great preacher, that said God must have loved common people because he made a lot of them. This has gone from the high guy to the low guy. But let me tell you something. Don't you ever think that you're a low guy when you're called a common person. Because everybody in the world are common people. Everybody. Donald Trump has got a bull on his desk in the Oval Office, and there's a button on it. Some kind of bull. And I heard a report from a man that visited his office and had an interview with him, and he said, what's the bull? He said, what's the button for? He thought it was like the world blows up, Russia blows up. Red button. He said, push it. He said, no, I don't push that. He said, just push that button. He pushed it. Nothing happened. A few minutes later, one of his aides walked in with a Diet Coke. Donald Trump is a common man. The Pope's a common man. Don't you ever, ever feel like that you're not, you're just an old common people and everybody else is more important than you. Jesus died for you. For every one of us, you're special. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Somebody may want to make it public today and come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Whoever you may be, you please take this time. Maybe you want to step out right now and say, I'm coming to trust Christ as my Savior. Don't gamble your life away. God gives you warnings, friends. In the secrecy of your heart, God speaks to you. And maybe he's giving you that warning today that you need to be saved. Would you come on, whoever you are right now, just step out. Trust Christ as your Savior. Father, save the lost. And Lord, help us to come with thanksgivings to the altar to give you praise for what you've done for us. Save the lost. And help us, Father, if anybody needs to be reclaimed or bring that offering of trespass offering today, they'll do that. And come back to Calvary in Jesus' name. Come and be saved. You step out right now. Come on, whoever you may be. Trust Christ. Give praise to God, friends. We got a lot to be thankful for. Aren't you glad that you decided to trust Jesus? Aren't you glad? Where would you be if you had not trusted Christ? That's something to be thankful for, friends. Give thanks to God. Give praise to God. Father, save anybody that's listening to the message today. Save them. May they willingly turn to you. Oh God, save the lost. Oh, the head's bowed right quick now. Is there anybody say, preacher, I sure need help. Please pray for me. God knows my condition. Lost or saved. So, preacher, I need God. Would you pray for me? Anybody? Anybody right now? God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Please pray for me. We're not going to embarrass you. Please pray for me. We're going to have one more verse of this song. And I pray that you'll come publicly if you need God, if you need to be saved, that you'll step forward and say, it's got to be done publicly. You can't do it privately. That's what I had to do. Everybody else is saved. Say, I admit they're a sinner and know that Jesus, our mediator, we're coming to be saved. We're coming to trust Him. Come and do that. This is your verse. Right now, come on, please. Step forward. Come on. Don't delay. Don't delay. We thank you for your attention. We thank you for folks been listening by the airway. Thank you for being here today. If you don't have a church, home church, come back and see us again. We're glad to have all of you here. And happy Mother's Day. I nearly forgot it.